Praise God. Praise God. Turn with me in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. Reading verses 20 through 23, the words of the Apostle Paul. There's Daniel. Daniel, thank you so much for repairing that video projector. It looks so great. Philippians chapter 1, beginning with verse 20, Paul says, I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. And then I think also of Psalm 116, verse 15, that says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. You see, death for the Christian, for the believer in Jesus Christ, is far, far different from an ordinary death. God looks down on His child, ready to welcome them home. He looks forward to receiving them into His presence forever. The last 2 weeks, I've done an awful lot of thinking and praying and reflecting upon the recent passing of my mother-in-law, Linda's mom, who was visiting with us from Pennsylvania, Mom Allen. And I'd like to share a few thoughts with you this week from that experience and what it's meant to us. And I pray that it will be an encouragement and a blessing to you. Mom's passing was very unexpected. It wasn't easy at all to watch her have a stroke. To hear the doctors tell us that there was nothing more that they could do, that she had just a short time left with us here on this earth. It's very difficult to lose somebody who is very near and dear and special to you. Somebody who is such an awesome mom that we had for so long. Mom was such a special person. Linda, of course, knew her whole life. I knew her since I was 12 years old. It's difficult to say goodbye to somebody that you love and care about so much. It was hard to sit there in that hospital room watching and waiting. But we did so with hope. And it made her faith, and it made our faith in God so very, very real to us. She was at peace. She was ready to depart, to go home. And we were at peace, knowing that she was about to be with Jesus. In those 2 days, we said our goodbyes. We played her favorite songs. Her favorite song was, I Can Only Imagine. And I've been thinking recently that she doesn't have to imagine anymore. We prayed over her. We put her into God's hands. We released her into His eternal care. And when she took her last breath, we sensed an overwhelming peace. The presence of God was powerfully in that room. There were tears of sadness, but even more so, tears of joy. That Mom was now where she always wanted to be, in heaven with Jesus, reunited with Dad, knowing that we would see both of them again. We could almost literally see her spirit leave her body, a body that was worn and frail from 86 years of life. But she wasn't there anymore. It was just her empty earth suit that was left. Her spirit had gone from this world, instantly into the presence of God, gone from this life into a new and an everlasting life, to claim her brand new glorified body to live forever and ever in the presence of Jesus. And if we ever believed in what we call the blessed hope, in the reality of eternal life for the Christian, it was at that moment when we saw it with our very eyes. You know, I think that's exactly what Paul was talking about here in Philippians. What he was personally looking forward to. That in life he lived for Christ, but in death he would die in Christ. He wanted to live, but he wasn't afraid of dying. He would keep on living, but going to be with Jesus would be even better. For Paul and for every believer, it's not a matter of life and then death. It's a matter of death and then life. It's reaching the goal, winning the prize. It's the promise fulfilled. So I want to talk to you in the next few moments about a message that I entitle A Matter of Death and Life. A Matter of Death and Life. Heavenly Father, it's good to be in your house today. It's great to be in your presence. And it's wonderful, Lord, to look into your word, the truths, the promises that we have as believers. And Lord, we don't like to think about death, but it's very important that we do so. And I pray, God, that you would speak to every heart, to every life through your word, through your servant today, I pray. Lord, I pray one more time for the anointing and the empowering of the Holy Spirit to be upon me. Because I want to share, not just from my heart, but I want to share from your heart to touch the hearts of your people. I pray and ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. You know, living for Jesus and then one day going to be with Him forever, isn't that what it's really all about? So let's take a little bit closer look at what Paul had to say about death and life. Again, that powerful verse in the first chapter of Philippians, verse 21, "For to me," Paul says, "to live is Christ, but to die is gain." You got to get a hold of that today, my friends. To live is Christ, but to die is gain. There's no question that Paul had a positive view of death. And so can you. Paul didn't fear death. In fact, he actually embraced it. He was looking forward to it. You know, if you say you're looking forward to dying, people might look at you kind of funny. You got to be careful. You can't go around and say, "I'm looking forward to dying." You know, they might want to suit you up and carry you off. Not everybody's going to understand. They might put you away if you're not careful what you say. But I don't think Paul had mental problems. I don't think he had a fixation on death. No, he had a great hope and an expectation of what awaited him beyond this life. Aren't you glad that this life and this world is not all there is? God has so much more awaiting us. And we can only imagine what it's going to be like. I'm sure that he, like we do, often wondered exactly what eternity and what heaven was going to be like. Mom was with us just a week before she passed away. But in that week, I'm telling you, every single day, sometimes several times a day, she talked about heaven. We didn't realize it, but it was obvious that God was preparing her. And she kept saying, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go. Just 2 days before her stroke, she asked me what I think heaven is like. You know, Paul faced both life and death with courage. He knew that Christ would be exalted and glorified in his life either way. And I wonder, how do you face your life? Do you face life in fear? With doubt, worry, anxiety? Are you haunted by the past? Are you uneasy by the present? Are you afraid of the future? Or do you face your life in faith, with hope and strength and courage, knowing who God is and who you are in Him, knowing that His Word is true, His promises are sure, and that your life, and yes, your death, is in His hands. Is Christ glorified by your life? And will He be exalted in your death? I think what Paul is really saying is, he's saying to us, here's what I know. Here's what I know. Either way, whether I live or whether I die, I win. Don't you like to be a winner? Anybody here like to lose? You like to be a loser? No, we all want to be winners. Guess what? In Christ, whether we live or whether we die, we win. It doesn't get any gooder than that. For those of you who are new, I'm not a bad English student. I just like to say gooder. But in Christ, you can't lose. You can't lose. You see, if Paul says if he continues living, he can keep serving God. He can keep being a blessing to others, investing in their lives, pointing people to Jesus, making a difference for the kingdom of God. If he keeps on living, his life, he said, will be fruitful labor. In other words, he's going to keep living a life with purpose, accomplishing the will of God in his life. But if he dies, well, that's even better. Because he will receive his reward and glory, and he will enjoy the fruits of his labor for the Lord. I like what he adds in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58. He says, therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. It's not in vain. What you do for the Lord in this life is not in vain. It's for a purpose. And it leads to a great reward in heaven. What we do here for Christ will never be lost. But it lives on into eternity. People do an awful lot of things in this world. They expend a lot of time and talent and energy and money in things that will stop when their life ends. But the things that you do for Christ will live on into eternity. And then in Romans chapter 8, verse 18, Paul also tells us this, that it's all going to be worth it. He says, I consider that our present sufferings are not even worth comparing with the glory. Somebody say glory. Say it again, glory. Our present sufferings. How many have ever experienced suffering in this life? Guess what? That suffering isn't even worth comparing, he said, with the glory that will be revealed in us. And Paul shares with us a powerful truth. That when a believer departs and leaves this life and leaves this world and we hang up our earth suit, we immediately go into the presence of God. And that's Paul's greatest desire, to be with Christ. I wonder, is that your greatest desire? Is that what you're looking forward to? To be with Christ in His presence forever. I'll never forget the few moments when Mom had her stroke and she collapsed in our house, she was unresponsive. The paramedics came and took her down to Desert Regional. And after a while, we were allowed in to see her. And even though the stroke had already taken its toll, she was alert. And she heard what we were saying and she was responding to us in a limited fashion. But we knew that she could hear us and that she was listening to us. And I got down close to her ear and I said, Mom, I said, just remember, either God will heal you and restore you, or you're going to get what you've been wanting. He's going to take you home. But either way, you win. Either way, you win. My friends, we've got to get a hold of this, that in Christ, we can't lose. To continue living is a positive thing. We should look forward to our life, to embrace life, to let God work in you, to use you for His glory, to bless you and make you a blessing. But when your time to leave this world has come, to go home, it's also a positive thing. Paul says it's even better. If we live in Christ, we live in victory. But if we go to Christ, we die in victory. We can't lose. Your life, your future, the number of your days are in God's hands. And in life or in death, either way, you win. And to think of it, church, we get to have forever life. We get to have forever life with Jesus in heaven. Yes, sin entered the world and eternal life was lost. But God made a way through Jesus Christ to regain the promise and the hope of eternal life. I want to ask you this. How often do you consider eternity? How often do you think about where will you go when you die? They're important questions. that need to be considered while you're alive, because when this life is over, it's too late to answer those questions. We only get one chance at this. Where will you go when you die? Where will you spend eternity? Because putting your faith in Christ, living your life as a follower of Jesus, guarantees that your death will also be in Him. For the Christian, death is not something to dread. For the believer, death is not something to fear, but rather it's something to look forward to. Paul goes on, and he says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and if you'd like to turn there with me, you can. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning with verse 13. He describes it like this. Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep, or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in Him. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede or go ahead of those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord Himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, with a trumpet call of God. I'm getting excited. With the voice of the archangel and the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And after that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage. Encourage one another with these words. So what is Paul saying? What exactly is his point in all of this? It's two things. Hope and truth. Hope and truth. To give us hope that we can use to encourage each other, and to give us the truth of what is to come for the believer in Jesus Christ. You know, life can be discouraging. Life can be downright discouraging at times. And the thought of death can be frightening. You know, in this world in which we live, we need all the hope and all the encouragement we can get. If you don't believe me, just turn on the news for 5 minutes. Hope and truth are in very short supply today. The world does not offer us much hope at all. And listening to what everybody says, especially the news, does not include much truth. In fact, it's getting harder and harder to determine the truth from the lies. I don't find much hope in this world in which we live. And I don't see much truth. Everywhere we look, everywhere we turn, most of what we see, most of what we hear is negative and critical and discouraging and depressing. And I don't know if you notice it, but things don't seem to be getting any better. We live in a hopeless and a fearful and a dangerous world. Just a couple weeks ago, Charlie Christensen and I attended a seminar for church security where we were discussing with other pastors and church leaders, and there was a captain there from the San Bernardino County Sheriff's Department. There was the head of the security ministry in another church, and we were discussing the realities of the world in which we live, that churches today need to be prepared and have plans in place and methods in place to protect the safety and the security of our people. Because we all know that the world outside is coming into the church. And we're even talking about active shooters and different things like that that have been happening even in churches. It's an insecure, it's a fearful, it's a dangerous world. We can't stick our heads in the sand and pretend that it doesn't exist. We have to do the best that we can to be wise and to be prepared. This world is a dangerous place. But the good news is there's hope in Jesus Christ. Because this world is not all there is. For the believer in Christ, things are so much different. We have so much to encourage us. So much to look forward to. Why? Because we know the truth of God's Word and the certainty of His promises. Jesus died, but He rose again. And because He lives, we too shall live. I didn't get many amens on that, but you got to get a hold of that. Because He lives, we too shall live. Because He was resurrected, we too, the Bible says, will be resurrected unto new life. How dreadfully hopeless people are without Christ. Without Christ, this is all there is. This is it. This is as good as it gets. And that's not very good. Without Christ, there is no promise of eternal life. Without Christ, what is death? It's just the end. You know, you watch those movies, and you go through the whole story, and the last screen, the word comes up, and it says, the end. Okay, I guess that means it's time to finish the popcorn and go home. Time to turn off the TV. Shut down the... Well, it was the VCR, now it's... What do you call the recording stuff. The end. Done. Okay, what's... Now what? Without Christ, that's... Now what? Then what? The end. How dreadfully hopeless and depressing that is. To live your whole life and then it's just the end. What was it all worth? All we went through, all we dealt with, all we did, the end? But not with Christ. Not for the Christian. It's not the end, it's the beginning. It's when it really starts to get good. And gooder. I was sitting at Mom's bedside in that hospital room, and I was looking at her and I was thinking how it would be if we didn't have hope in Jesus. We would just say goodbye forever. That's it. No more? But what exactly is the truth? The promise of God for us who put our faith in Christ. Verses 15 through 17 describes to us what's going to happen. What we have to look forward to. those who have gone before us in death, they're going to be resurrected. And we who are still alive and remain will be caught up with them in the clouds to meet Jesus in the air. We just worshiped Him. We just sang about Him. We read about Him. We pray to Him. We love Him. But we're going to be caught up in the clouds to meet Him. And so we will be with the Lord for 2 weeks. Forever. And ever. And ever. And I don't know about you, but I ain't coming back. I will be done with this place. I don't think anybody who has gone to be in heaven will want to trade it and come back here. If we die first, we'll be resurrected, we'll rise again. If we're still here and alive when the trumpet sounds, we're going to take a sudden, incredible trip straight up into the clouds, into the heavens, to join those who are already have already died in Christ, to be with Him forever. And Paul says, we believe, therefore we have hope. That's the key, folks. You got to believe. You got to believe. It doesn't happen by default. It doesn't happen automatically. If you read the obituaries and you listen to some of the funeral sermons, you get the idea that everybody dies and goes to heaven. Not true. Only those who believe, who put their faith and their trust and their hope in Jesus Christ, only those who give their lives to Him and are followers of Jesus. We believe, Paul says, therefore we have hope, not only in life, but also in death. And he says, I don't want you to be ignorant, to not know what's going to happen. Isn't it great to know? Don't you like to know? I don't like to be in the dark. I don't like to not know. I'm one of those kind of people, I want to know. I want some answers. Paul says, I don't want you to be ignorant. You can know. You can know what happens when you die. You see, the fear of the reason people are afraid of death is because they're afraid of fear of the unknown. Well, if you don't have faith in Christ, it is completely unknown. There is every reason to fear death, but not for the Christian. Because it's known. We don't have to be afraid. We can know what's happened, what happens. We can know where we're going. We don't have to grieve like others who don't have this hope and this knowledge of the truth. We don't have to fear death. We don't have to despair like the rest of the world, where death is just the end, where death is a mystery, being afraid of the unknown. But rather, as Christians, he says in verse 18, encourage each other with these words. We should be encouraged, because when your death nears, it can be embraced in eager anticipation, in expectation of the glories that lie ahead and the beauty that awaits us. That whether we live or whether we die, we have hope. We can be encouraged. We can have peace because we win. And then he goes on a little bit further. Can I go a little bit further? In chapter 5, he continues the thoughts. And look at verses 4 through 8 of chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians. He says, but you, brothers, are not in darkness, so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You are all sons of the light and sons of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be alert and self-controlled. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. You see, Paul adds this very important caveat. or a condition to all of this. He says all these great promises, this blessed hope, so much to look forward to, is only for those who are in Christ. It's only for those who live this life in Christ in light of the truth of God's Word. It's only for those who follow Jesus and put their faith and their trust in Him. So to have this great hope and this eternal promise, we must receive His salvation. Here's how Jesus said it one day. When Lazarus, His dear friend, had died, in John chapter 11, Martha, one of Lazarus' sisters, was talking to Jesus, and Jesus said to her in John 11, 25, He said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. We'll let that sink in for a second. I am the resurrection and the life. Now here it gets even gooder. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Now here's the key. He said to her, Do you believe this? Martha, do you believe this? Church, do you believe this? Have you put your faith in Christ? Have you put your life and your death, your present and your future in Christ? Because it is a matter of death and life. And as we draw this to a close, quickly go back to 1 Thessalonians 5 again and go a couple more verses. Verses 9 through 11. Paul says, For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now watch it, verse 10. He died. He died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with Him. He died for us, so that we may live with Him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up. Just as in fact you are doing. Church, what a great hope we have. What a great hope we have. I've believed it my whole life, but it's never been more real to me until that day, July 3rd, that I sat in that room and I saw the truth and the reality of that hope happen before my very eyes. It's real. It's real. It's true. What great promises we have to look forward to. What great words to encourage each other with. That we can all be built up in Him and be strong to face whatever comes in this life or in death. But it comes down to this. How are you living your life? And how will you face your death? Are you living for Christ? Can you say with Paul, for me to live is Christ? Are you ready to face death? It's coming for all of us one day, sooner or later. Can you say with Paul, but to die Woo! To die is gain. Are you afraid of death? Or is your hope in Jesus Christ? Do you desire to depart and to be with Him, which is better by far? I want to ask Stu to put on this song. While this song is playing, I want you to think about a couple things. I want you to think about your life and where you stand with Christ right now. Have you given your life to Jesus? Have you put your faith and your hope and your trust in Him? Are you living for Him? As you listen to this song, I want you to consider, are you right with God? Do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? I've got good news for you. That if you don't, you can come to Him right now. You can put your life into His hands. You can put your faith and your trust in Him. You will be able to say, for me to live is Christ. But when this life is over, I'm ready to meet God and to die is gain. So if there's somebody here, you've not ever given your life to Jesus Christ, or maybe you have before and you're not where you need to be, you're not where you were, and you need to come back to Jesus. I'm going to play a little bit of this song, and then I'm going to ask you to get up, or while the song's playing, just get up and come to the front, come forward, and I want to pray with you to get right with God and to know that you too can have this hope in Jesus Christ. Stu?
Just as you are, hear the Spirit call. Come just as you are. Come and see. Come receive.
Go when you die. You can have that life everlasting. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Thank you. Rededicate your life to Him. Maybe you need to get a hold of that hope of eternal life. Are you where you need to be today in Christ? Come on down, make it right. Maybe you have a need. situation you need to give to the Lord, come down and find a place of prayer. Jesus is here for you. Thank you. It's so good to know that no matter who we are, we can come to Jesus. That He receives us just the way we are. Is there anybody you'd like to come? Come to Jesus today. Praise God. He's going to put on another song, I Can Only Imagine. Before you go, all of you want to come up to the altar, you want to stay where you are, you want to sit, you want to stand. I think it's a fitting way to end this service with that song, I Can Only Imagine. And just think about what God has in store for those who love Him. Just rejoice in Him. We don't have to fear death. We don't have to be hopeless like the rest of the world. We have such a great hope, so much to look forward to live as Christ. Yes, but to die is gain. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Turn it up a little bit, Sue.
Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? Or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence? Or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. I can only imagine when that day comes and I find myself standing in the sun. I can only imagine. When all I would do is forever, forever worship you. I can only imagine, yeah. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? Or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence? Or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. Yeah, I can only imagine. Jesus, or in all of you. when all I would do is forever, forever worship you. I can only imagine.
God, hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord, for such a blessed hope that we have and all that we have to look forward to you, in you, Lord. God, use us in this life and use us in death to exalt you and to glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful day in the Lord. Don't forget, next Sunday,